Very happy to welcome Rohini Priya Prabhu, who is a MBBS doctor. He's Dr. Rohini Priya Das. He's a graduate from BJ Medical College, Pune, and he's been actively involved in the Brahmachari Ashram in the last so many years. Prominently, he's heading the project at Aurangabad, where they are coming up with a huge temple and residential complex. And he has been preaching in colleges in Mumbai, prominently at KEM for the last several years. And also he's a very, very deeply read personality in terms of Prabhupada's books. And he gives very wonderful deep insights into the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And today he'll be speaking on a very important topic, which is bugging society, and many, many politicians and others are grappling with this idea about how to bring about a society with values. And if you remember, the last year there was a whole campaign which was taken all the way to Delhi, and the whole question is on values. So therefore he's going to be speaking on values are invaluable. So how, with the perspective of Krishna consciousness, we can appreciate this, that's going to be his subject matter. We are very grateful that he's here this evening to enlighten us and share his realizations with us. Also, on the 7th of July, we'll have a lecture on Prerna by His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, Love the Ultimate Reality, Love the Ultimate Reality, which is July 7th with Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. So let us thank Rohini Priya Prabhu and welcome him by very loudly chanting.
Hare Krishna. So we are very happy to once again be able to make a presentation to all of you. It is said that any presentation should begin with a punchline and end with a punchline. So let me see if I can do that. Okay, here's my punchline. You ready for this? It takes one traffic policeman to control and guide thousands of vehicles that are running in various directions on the road. It takes one engine to pull tens of coaches in the proper direction. It takes just one small leaf to create hundreds of ripples in a lake. Similarly, it takes one moon to illuminate the night sky, which cannot be accomplished by even thousands of stars. Ekas chandras tamohanti nacha tara gananicha ganani api. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, Nachatara Sahasrasha. This is the quote from the Niti Shastra, which states, Ekas Chandras Tamohanti. In the night sky, one full moon is sufficient to dissipate the darkness of the night. Nachatara Gana. The entire Taragana or Tarangana, or all the other illuminaries of the night sky, unlimited numbers of them cannot accomplish the same task. But what is interesting is the line before this. And would you like to hear what the Niti Shastra says before making this comment? Or you wouldn't want to hear? Which is it? Hari Bol for which? Okay. The first line of this verse, which sometimes Srila Prabhupada would quote, is Varam eko guni putra na cha murkha sahasrasha. Better to have one son who has good values and qualifications than thousands of non-valuable offsprings. Better to have one invaluable son than to have unproductive or murkha, unintelligent progeny. So thank you for that wonderful welcome. However, I hope that, and this is my hope, that all of you who have come here are like that one moon among the thousands of stars in the city of Bombay. And my hope is that, if not all of you, at least some of you. And if not some, at least one. And even though I am a die-hard pessimist, even I have to accept that there is some good in this world. So, it is very encouraging to see all of you. And therefore, I would like all of you to welcome each and every member of this audience with a big round of applause. I didn't know that there was such a depreciation of appreciation in this audience. That was really big. So welcome to this presentation, Values Are Invaluable. Well, in today's age, when the rajas of this world are caught up in innumerable scams, well, it is necessary for the praja to become acquainted with that which is helpful. Definition of values, just because, you know, this is a presentation, it is a sort of a scientific presentation, therefore sorry to trouble you with definitions. You may note it, you may forget it, it's up to you. Important and enduring beliefs or ideals shared by the members of a culture about what is good or desirable and what is not. There is a similar, or let us say a synonym to this word values, it is known as ethics, moral principles that govern a person's or group's behavior or moral conduct, the correctness of specified conduct. This is interesting. One gentleman of the name Maurice Massey, he did some research and he concluded that generally, most ordinarily, these are when values are formed in one's life. There are three phases of value induction. The first phase is up to 7 years of age from birth. That is when core values of family and tradition are inducted in one's life, and generally wherever family and traditional setup is lacking, there is a deep impression of lack of anything valuable in the individual's life. This is known as the imprinting period. You know what is imprinting? Once the Dell company, the company that makes Dell computers, CPUs, laptops, notebooks, etc., their customer care center received a call. And the call was that after writing the CD of the desktop computer, I am not able to replay what is written down. After a few inquiries, it came to the attention of the customer care center that after the CD was written, in order to label the CD, the person would put it inside a typewriter and type on it. Well, the label got imprinted, but whatever was imprinted by the desktop computer, that was exprinted. So imprint means we do not have much choice. We simply absorb that which is within the environment. Yes. One of my relatives, a young cousin of mine, boy, the poor fellow, from 2 years of age, he started learning words. Actually, 1 year of age, but 2 years he was more proficient with words. Until the age of 5, because of the imprint on the consciousness, he would always say, please make the milk cold on the gas stove and make it hot in the fridge. 3 years of constant erase and rewriting made the situation be corrected according to society's norms. After the age of 5, he could start saying, heat it on the stove and cool it in the refrigerator. So this is the imprinting period. The second period is the modeling period. 7 years to, or let's say 8 years to 13 years. This is recent study, and therefore it is even applicable in India. These are called as the pre-teen years. Although they fall in the early teen years, somehow or the other this age group has become very significant in today's society, the psychological makeup of today's society, called as the pre-teen years, 8 to 13 years. At 8 years, it is a norm to have that which, or to model, to become like that which one is exposed to in the media, or one is exposed to outside of one's family. So previously, boys would like to be pilots, girls would like to be, I don't know what. But nowadays, boys and girls both want to be boyfriends and girlfriends. The modeling age, the modeling period from 8 to 13 years. And then on from 14 to 21 years, or let's say 13 to 21 years, is the values which are formed through socialization, or values formed through Facebook. Yes. After that, the person has no value anymore. So the imprinting period, modeling phase, and the socialization phase are the phases where one gets values. Where do we learn our values from? Many of you who have been trained very well by the educational system of the world will say We learn our values from our parents, from our family, and from our teachers. And if you say like that, you're going to get A grade. Unfortunately, in today's age, a greater impact of the values that we carry is made by the mass media, the internet. Television is trying to still survive. Radio is almost extinct. And magazines. I know of a mother, or I know of a child who told me, a young boy who told me, his mother said, either become someone like Sachin Tendulkar, very great, at least 100 centuries, and a nomination to Rajya Sabha, or at least become world-renowned Interpol gangster like Dawood Ibrahim. Beach ka mat bano. No Trishankus here. So today, where our society, family, and individual is very much influenced by mass media propagation, by the billboards and the advertisements, today the king of scams is welcomed back into his kingdom as someone great. What could the entire country of India do? Nothing. The king is free. Or the Raja is free. And gloriously the Raja returns back to his Rajya. Waiting for 2G is outdated. Most probably we'll have 5Gs and 6Gs now. So these are our sources of value. Now for those of us who have some interest in religion and spiritual practices, there does not seem to be sufficient, seemingly, there seems to be a lot of opposition and not sufficient support for core values inspired by examples of great personalities like the Pandavas, or like Lord Ramachandra, or even historical personalities like Mahatma Gandhi. Have you heard of this saying? Garibi ka naam? Recently I was traveling in a train from Nasik to Bombay, and there was this really extraordinary pharmaceutical salesman. So he was really pulling the leg of the caterers there, you know, the chai, those people who go around, chai, samosa. So one of them really got a little disturbed, and he said, you know, comment like, you know, we are poor workers and therefore you make fun of us. Like that. And then he made the comment that, Garibi ka naam. Yeah. So he commented back, Kya wo hai tumhari bhabhi? Agar Garibi ka naam hi wo hai, to kya Garibi tumhari bhabhi hai kya ki tum uska support kar rahe ho? And it is amazing to see how people use their God-given intelligence for really producing trash. Even the recycle bin of Microsoft Windows rejects it. That trash. So this is our source of values in today's world. When speaking of values, especially today, you have, you know, forum where all those who have certain values in life come together. It seems it's better not to have any values, because they are, the extent of the number of values that exist in society. I was trying to do some research. 259 primary values and secondary values are still listed in thousands. Wow! How does one have all these values? Therefore, it seems to be a bit confusing which values, you know, many times young men like y'all, they have this question in mind. Which value to inculcate and which to let it rest? Which really? You know, they come up and they say, "Sir, wonderful, I'm inspired by whatever you are trying to, whatever message you are trying to give. Please tell us three or four values that we can really, and out of all that you mentioned, three or four, some of them, all of them will be difficult." Well, because this is the age of media, so I think I have something here which should play. Now, this is a small clip. I would request all of you to wait for the clip to get over and I shut it down. Otherwise, there are various different time frames in this clip where you'll get very excited. And in your excitement, you miss out that which comes later on. So control yourself. Become yogis. And watch this. Confusion. लगता है गलत वाली पकड़ ली. कंफ्यूजन का जमाना है. यस, सो वी गेट कंफ्यूज. देयरफॉर इट इज एसेंशियल दैट वी कैन मेक द प्रॉपर चॉइसेस. देयर विल ऑलवेज बी चॉइसेस. Therefore, as human beings, it is our prerogative to know the choices, and it is incumbent on us to make the right choices. If we do not do that, then we gloriously qualify ourselves to be called as sophisticated animals. And we can take pride in it, no issues. Because then we have graduated ourselves from eating in the cave like men in 5-star and 7-star hotels on Marine Drive. So yes, but that's it. If we do not make the proper choices, then we just qualify ourselves as sophisticated animals. But again, it is not necessary that we become sophisticated animals. It is by choice that we may become like that. But intelligence is a very powerful instrument. It is a very powerful tool that allows us to rise higher and achieve benefits, not just for oneself physically, one's satisfaction mentally, but for one's growth spiritually, and contribute on all the levels for the growth of society too. Have you ever seen any member of the animal community, millions of species, who have had a parliament and an agenda and they pass resolutions we are going into the 22nd century. Now we are going to, you know, make. I mean, the monkey that was sent into space on the first space run by the Russian space program, the monkey did not, you know, volunteer. I want to be the first monkey in space. Because the monkey knew that two-legged monkeys after that are going to do that. They are going to fight with each other for that. The monkey was just sent into space. The monkey did not come back and give a, you know, press conference. One step, what is that? For monkey, one leap for monkey kind. One great step for monkey and a great leap for monkey kind. Monkey did not do that. They're not even aware that they should be doing that. But as human beings, we can use our intelligence to do that. And therefore, we have to make good use of intelligence in having the proper choices. So today's presentation on values and how they're actually valuable will be in three parts. The first will be a general observation in society of the world around us. What is happening in the world? After the seminar, you can educate me more. Maybe I am not so well educated. Maybe some of you have PhDs in that. And I am just a beginner. But still, we'll try to understand how the world functions around us. How we see the world functioning around us. Few observations. The second part would be a few confusions. Seeing that, and that which is within, the conscience, the voice that is within, creates a turmoil in the inner world of every human being. What should I do? Which way should I go? So there's a turmoil or a confusion within the world, in the world within us. And lastly, there has to be some samanvay. The external world does exist. The internal turmoil does exist. Ab aap aisa kuch much bolo jo ki bilkul hamare liye possible nahi hai. Right? So few tools to harmonize the two. There has to be a samanvay. So let us make the few observations of the world outside. We are now minutely studying the world outside. How does the world outside exist? Generally for most of us. The first paradigm for the world's existence is wealth is health. Now we may have heard the other way around, and I have not made a mistake here. It's not that, you know, I did not get good education and therefore I don't know my proverbs. But this is the accepted norm, the most predominantly accepted norm in society today. All of you, if you are not already in the working environment, as soon as you land up with a job, the first thing that you'll be asked is, kya package hai? Are baba, main hoon na samne package. No. In fact, one of the most important considerations in the marriage and marriages today is bacche ka package kya hai? What is the earning potential of your child? And if you are not within certain categories, okay, now there are five choices: excellent, good, fair, below par, useless. And every single aspirant has to come with this form and it is filled in, and then he looks at the result and either is elated or depressed. Anyways, later on there is only one reaction after a few years. So wealth is health. A very intelligent gentleman made a comment. He said, yes, I know what you people will always say. You always say money can't buy you happiness. I know that. Money can't buy you happiness, but it definitely makes misery comfortable. Wealth is health. Yes? Someone else once mentioned to me, I know what you're going to say. Money is all illusory, it cannot give you real happiness. I know that money can't get you happiness, but at least it puts the neighbors in distress. So, this is an existing reality. And all of us do know that it exists. It is not that we can simply turn a blind eye to it. How predominant is its effect on us? I would like to narrate a small story. A young man set up a business of essential parts for the telecommunication system. Phones, cables, like that. This shop was, he just started it new and he was expecting customers to come. Suddenly he found the door being opened and a gentleman walk in. A gentleman from his walk, from his appearance, appeared that this gentleman had a resolute purpose. Immediately he picked up his phone and said, No. Isse kam mein dhanda nahi karte. We do not take orders less than at least 50,000 rupees. Yes. No, we will not even entertain anything below that. Yes, if you want, you can come and we will, not today, I'm busy, 5 days, maybe next Tuesday, you can send your representative and we'll give him all the quotations. Put down his phone and then turn to this gentleman who had walked in and said, "Yes, sir, what can I do for you?" The man said, "I'm the telephone repairman. I have come to install your telephone." Wealth is such a requisite in today's world. The entire credit system is simply flaunting this little weakness that all of us have. Despite the credit crunch, there is more faith in the credit system than even Krishna. Because wealth is health. But there are so many examples, real life examples, where a blind pursuit of this particular predominant philosophy in society today has not led to any benefit, physically, mentally, or emotionally. It has not led to any benefit. I was recently traveling on a train from Bombay Central to Delhi. At Surat, a young couple, Marwadi couple, entered the train. Educated. The boy was, I guess, MBA finance. The girl was also quite educated. So they offered respects to Sadhu, as is their culture. And right at 8 o'clock in the evening, the gentleman started pulling up his shirt. And I was thinking, "Are Baba, what you are doing here in public?" And I started lifting up his shirt and pulling down his pant like that. And then his wife opened a bag and gave him a small injection like this, a small vial. He took it, as Arjuna takes an Agneya Astra. a fire weapon, he took that small vial and punch directly into his abdomen. And I was like, this was really strange for me. Although Gauranga Prabhu said that I did my medical studies, it was as if it was in the last kalpa, in the last day of Brahma. Because medical science has advanced so much now that this gentleman tells, he looks at me and looks at everyone around and says, with a glorious smile of victory on his face. Insulin. I have diabetes. 25 years of age. Diabetes. Carries insulin vials, which he plunges into his abdomen and then feels happy about it. And says, we have advanced so much. And this vial does cost money. And he has money. One vial and I can eat as much sweet as I want. Now, does that stop his liver from actually crying out in pain? It doesn't. Because insulin simply for some time gives a feeling of well-being. And the liver is just getting more overworked over a period of time. Wealth is health. So, the Niti Shastras give the example of a man who was hunting a fox. Very much disturbed by the activities of this fox. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj also gave this example. However, the king of that particular kingdom had banned fox hunting in his kingdom. No foxes can be hunted in my kingdom. So disturbed by the fox, knowing of the king's decree, was hunting for the fox. Finally, he captured the fox. And as soon as he captured the fox, by his good or bad fortune, he saw the king approaching with some of his soldiers. He was very much concerned. So he took the fox, shut its mouth so it would stop squealing, and put the fox under his shirt, under his coat, and stood like this as if in attention. The king came up to him and said, so, my dear man, how are you? Is everything all right with you? What are you doing here? And how is your job? Like on and on and on, and the person is smiling. Yes, my dear king, but within his mind is thinking, why don't you go away? Typical plastic smiles that are very common in today's world. Yes, sir. In the vibe, yes, sir, you're right, sir. And in the mind, you're thinking, you fool. Why are you thinking like that? It's not good to think like that. You're thinking because instead of asking you questions on your syllabus, is asking you, did you see the last match in IPL? You're really wondering, who is this person? But, yes, sir. So, yes, king. Half an hour, the king spent time. The king was feeling, I should be more available to my subjects. Darshan. Jana Darshan. And the Janata was thinking, go away, please go away. Because although he was holding the fox inside, how long could he keep the pressure on his mouth, the fox, of all of its bodily parts? One of the most powerful part is the mouth. So although he was holding the mouth, the fox was really trying to eat up his stomach. Half an hour later, the king leaves. The man utters a sigh of relief and falls onto the ground. Ram Nam Satya.
Dad.
Because the fox had eaten up and drunk all of his blood and had completely eaten all of the organs in the abdomen. But he couldn't say anything because the king is in front. This is the status of the majority of the people in today's world who are running after the so-called temporal pleasure of wealth as being the only healthy aspect of life. They're completely drained from within. People who are working in SAP, who are working as software developers, 10 years back, they were considered to be like our demigods. Today, these demigods are fallen demigods. They're saying, Nakore Baba. There are so many people in that particular realm of the world, that particular occupational realm of the world, who are tired of it. Were tired of it. For 20 years, it was a big bubble, not as busted. So, this is one of the observations of the external world. There was a man who went to a men's club for a workout. You know, they have this changing area in the men's club. You change into your working gear. So after their workout, some of them were sitting on benches and a cell phone rang. So he picked up the phone and said, yes, hello, all right, okay. So yes, we can buy the necklace of 25,000 rupees. No problem, yes. Yes, we can also book that car for 5 lakh rupees. No, 15 lakhs, no problem. Yes, 15 lakhs. Sure, definitely. Oh, yeah. You can also do that, make the down payment for that thing also. Oh, how much? Only 20 lakhs? No problem. So everyone understood that it was the wife on the other end. Who else could it be? And everyone was smiling at each other. We know what is happening. Ghar ki kahani. Yes, you also have a good time. Yeah, see you later on. He put down the phone. Then he casually looked around and said, whose mobile was this? That is the present day credit system. Wealth is not really so healthy, but then this is the predominant philosophy in today's world. So many scams, and I don't need the name of the scam is Adarsh scam. So what is going to be Anadarsh then? The next observation of the world around us. I want that. Whatever anyone else has, I want that. What about what you have? I want that. And I hear this poor girl is looking at this gymnast and saying, I want that. How is it possible? Just by thinking, how can you do that? You need to work out. No, I want that without working out. And there was this girl who was thinking, throughout the day, not troubling anyone, not getting in anyone's way, simply sitting down in front of the television and being their very regular customer and thus satisfying their TRP rates too, and doing some benefit for the chocolate industry and for the potato chip industry. Such a harmless person like me, is it too much for me to demand that my weight be regulated? How can you have your weight regulated when you're, you know, becoming such sold out customers to that, which is going to increase your flab? But still, whenever we see something like that, we want that. We have simply practically become slaves to the philosophy of I want that. How many of you have changed your cell phones in the past 3 or 4 months? You know, you look at this beautiful ad walking down the road. This really handsome looking hunk with the cell phone, with the beautiful lady by his side, and the caption, "Kar lo duniya mutthi mein." What is any poor fellow like you or me going to do? I mean, we want this dunya na mutthi. How do we know that it is as slippery as Amul butter? Right? So, we wanting to get the world within our hands, go to the shop. We take that model, Nokia 5010, I don't know. I'm way out of my league in this, but. Okay, iPhone 4G. The next day you're in your college or workplace. 1 minute. Ah. No. Mm-hmm. What are you doing there? You don't even know the functions that are there. But kar lo duniya mutthi mein. Duniya to aa gayi na, sab khade. Naya phone ji. New phone sir. Kya style hai aapka. Wah. Day 2, the day after you've purchased your phone. You purchased your phone on 31st of December. 1st of January, Apple launches iPhone 5G. The same hunk. But this time, iPhone 5G. Kar lo duniya mutthi mein. And you look at your 4G, one day old phone, and it is a source of distress to you. Kitna purana model hai. Mommy, I want that. Srila Prabhupada, he gave an example in 1914 when the World War I was taking place in Calcutta. Some of the English professors and lawyers, specifically lawyers, they would discuss with their Indian counterparts. So one particular gentleman was discussing with Mr. Mukherjee, a very, very prestigious lawyer of the High Court in Calcutta then, 1914. And he said, "Mr. Mukherjee, now that the Germans are coming, what are you going to do?" Mr. Mukherjee said, "Sir, I'm going to fold my hands like this and say, please come, you're welcome." The English High Court judge was shocked. He said, "What?" He said, "Yes, for the past 150 years, that is what you have trained us to be. Welcome us. Please come, Sahab ji, Sahab, aao. You simply taught us to be slaves. What else do you expect us to be?" Similarly, this philosophy that we see in the external world has simply taught us to become slaves to an unending path of desire. I want that now, I want that tomorrow, I want that the day after tomorrow. Every day it's a new that. So this philosophy, how does it arise? What does it arise from? It basically arises from the nature of being unfulfilled by what one has, becoming insecure in the presence of what someone else's, or what someone else has. One feels unfulfilled with what one has in the insecure presence of someone else's position. This gives rise to envy. In the moral stories that are taught to children all over the world, there's a story of the dog with a bone. A dog got a bone. He picked up the bone. Started running. He ran here, he ran there, he ran across a bridge over a river. Suddenly, as he was running over the bridge, he thought, let me look at myself, how cool I look with a bone in my mouth. So he looked into the river, saw his reflection. However, in the reflection, what he conceived, what his eyes conceived in terms of vision was a dog with a bone. And seeing that there was this dog with a bone in the river too, he became concerned, how does that dog have a bone? So he decided to scare away that dog. Now how do dogs scare away anyone? By barking, barking, you know. So bah, he went. Even that fell down. So in the process of mommy, I want that, even this is gone. The 4G you are not able to enjoy, the 5G you are not able to afford. So, really frustrating situation. The next predominant feeling in the world, in the society, is that I know that I must be doing this, but it's as if I'm tied down by so many things. Please, you set me free. That's so many duties, responsibilities, desires, fulfillments, ambitions, hopes, dreams. They're all binding me. Please set me free. And a man was walking down a street, looking into the shop windows. Suddenly he saw in this window, someone was looking at him with very, very cranky look, you know, very, very gruffy look, like that. So he was really wondering, why is that person looking at me with such a gruff on his face, a gruff expression on his face? He really realized that actually it is my own expression, this is my reflection. It is I am who is so very, you know, my face is so disturbed, this is my reflection. So many of us feel that there are so many demands that the world has set for us and we are bound by that. And therefore the idea is, set me free. One philosopher has very nicely said that we are not actually bound. We are simply the prisoners of our own thoughts. There's nothing that actually binds us except our own thought processes. There was this old lady who had two daughters. One daughter was married to a chhatriwala, someone who sold umbrellas. And the other daughter was married to a noodlewala, one who made noodles. So whenever it would rain like this, she would start crying. Mere noodle wala ka kya hoga? Barish mein noodles sukhega kaise? What will happen to my daughter who is married to the person who makes noodles? The sun is not coming out. The noodles won't dry. There will be a loss in business. My daughter will feel unhappy. And therefore I am so unhappy. She would start crying. And whenever the sun would come out, she would cry for the chhatriwala. The sun is out, who is going to buy umbrellas? Therefore my daughter is going to be unhappy and therefore she would start crying. Thus, everyone in the village called her crying lady. But she was not happy with this situation, so she approached a saintly person. The saintly person heard her whole case and he said, actually, there is one way that you can change your situation. And after that, the lady became very happy. What did the saint tell her? The saint told her that, see, you cannot stop rain from falling and you cannot stop the sun from shining during the summer season. So whenever the rains are falling, you start thinking, oh, this is so good for my chhatriwala. And whenever the sun is shining brightly, you start thinking, this is so good for my noodle wala. So now she was happy. So basically she was a prisoner of her own thoughts. This experiment was done in a laboratory on monkeys. 5 monkeys were put in a cage. And it was some gadgets were applied to this cage. Inside the cage, which was 15 feet in height, and the monkeys were, they were simian monkeys, so 2 or 3 feet high monkeys. But 15 feet high cage, there's a 10 feet high ladder on which was a platform on which some very fresh and attractive fruits were kept. In the beginning, the monkeys were wondering what to do, but suddenly one of them became courageous enough in that strange environment to rush up the stairs to get the fruits. As soon as that person ran up the stairs, the entire cage was charged with electrical impulses. The floor, the bars, the staircase, all the 5 monkeys, they were given a shock. Shock beyond their lives, beyond their imagination. They all started screaming and they fell down. They couldn't understand what happened. After some moments, when things cooled down a bit, they again looked at the fruit. Another courageous monkey decided, let me take the chance. He started running up the stairs, shock to all of them. Everyone was in pain. After some time, a third monkey decided to make the endeavor. Again, shock. Now, for a lot of time, there was peace and quiet. Then one of the remaining 2 monkeys decided, let me take a chance. And as the monkey was running towards the staircase, the other 4 jumped on him and started beating him. For one whole day, this happened. Then all the monkeys kept quiet. No one went towards the staircase. The next day, 1 monkey was taken out and a fresh one put in. The fresh one squealed in delight, ran up, punch, punch, bang, bang. The other 4 just hit him black and blue. The poor fellow kept quiet. What to do? Then another one, day 3, another one of the original 4 was taken out and a new one put in. Same thing. Naya hai na. Naya Sikandar hamesha lagta hai, kuch naya karunga. Punch. Day 4, day 5, only 2 of the original remained. Day 6, only 1 of the original remained. Day 7, all 5 were new. None of them attempted to go up because all of them had experienced beatings. Day 7 or day 8, one of these new, but now the second generation was taken out and a fresh one put in. And the fresh one saw the fruit and started, all the 4 jumped on him and hit him. Now, none of these 5 had ever experienced electrolocution. They had never experienced shock. They had just experienced beating. It became the tradition. Any monkey who entered that society of monkeys, if tried to climb up the staircase, was beaten up. Why? हमारे बाप दादा करते आ रहे थे, हम भी कर रहे हैं. We are the prisoner of our own thoughts. Yes. So not a very healthy situation. So these are some basic functionings of the external world that we thought we could present. A few confusions about the world inside. When we are faced with situations in the external world like that, what does one do? There are 2 types of theories that the researchers have put forth. One is known as the deontological theory, the other is the consequentialist theory. The deontological theory states that some principles are intrinsically right regardless of resulting consequences. They're intrinsically right. Father has told me to go into the forest. Father never said. Maharaj Dashrath had never spoken. Kaikeyi had informed Ram. Dashrath Maharaj had kept quiet. So his keeping quiet was taken as father's giving the order, agreeing with it. Goes into the forest. Kaikeyi says, Sumitra says, Kaushalya asks him, the Guru Vishwamitra, Vashishtha Muni also says, Lord Ram says, the person who has given the order has the right to rescind the order. Therefore, I have to follow whatever my father has ordered me to do. No one else, I agree with whatever you all are saying, but I cannot accept that unless and until the father, and then father is no longer there now. So he has to stay his foot in. Intrinsically right, no matter what the consequences. That is known as the deontological theory. And the other theory is the consequentialist theory, which says that determining upon what the consequence is going to be, it can be right or wrong. Like 1944, English and Allied soldiers were massacred in Europe by the German army. Massacred. They couldn't get off the beaches. Churchill, in consultation with Mountbatten, the commander-in-chief of the Allied armies, and the other advisors, decided on bringing back the soldiers. June 1944, Normandy, a huge task force, so many ships, so many boats, so many volunteers. Everyone was encouraged. Anyone who had a boat or time, get our soldiers back. Many soldiers were brought back to England to safety. And Churchill declared this as a successful retreat. Never in the history of wars has there ever a term like a successful retreat ever been used. Because retreat means defeat. But he used a term successful retreat for they would fight another day. And today, that has been accepted as very good strategy. Consequence determines whether the action is right or wrong. And what does it mean? The greatest happiness of the greater majority is what will be the result, and that will determine whether one is right or wrong. So if tens and hundreds of people are satisfied with the Dhoble effect in Mumbai, there's an Inspector Dhoble going around in Mumbai. Stringent laws of how one can exhibit oneself in the night. Many people are becoming unhappy. Many are happy also, but the greater majority, or those who are speaking out and blogging out, seems to be of those who are unhappy. So now this consequence will matter. Who blogs more? Who does marches more in what numbers? Will determine whether the stand they've taken is right or wrong. The consequentialist theory. The deontological theory sometimes seems redundant, sometimes seems impractical, however, always has stood the test of time. It has never changed. The consequentialist theory may seem to be practical and relevant now, but as soon as the social, the economical environment changes, it becomes inconsequential or redundant. It has never stood the test of time. And this brings about the conflict within us. Which theory should we adopt? The consequentialist theory or the deontological theory? Three important questions arise in our mind regarding this. Why are the values changing? Very important. You are saying, we are hearing, we are reading, we are understanding. Why are the values and norms in society changing? Sometimes in names of practicality, norms are established as the state norms or government norms. Just one generation down the line, everyone is feeling the brunt, is feeling the ill effects of those norms. Every single person is feeling the ill effect of those norms. But now, to bring about an amendment would mean another change in governance, another independence movement, so as to say. It's not easy in terms of energy, manpower, and money to carry out an independence movement. So the amendments do not come in and the norms stay, much to the pain of the generations to follow. Why are the values changing? Important question. Will my values too change? Very important question. If the values outside are changing, will my values also change? When I was being trained up as a student, I was taught by my revered superiors that in exams, especially when there is a viva exam, an exam where you're directly facing the examiner, and there's one-to-one question and answers, if you don't know an answer, never say, I don't know. Never ever say, I don't know. Then what is the prescribed answer for that? I don't remember. I don't remember whether I studied or not. But it is not politically and examinatically correct to say, I don't know. It has become superfluous now. The very people who are now students will become examiners, and they face students saying, I don't know. They know what they don't know. But it has become an accepted norm. So, will my values too change? And finally, what can I do to stay who I am? Now, we are not going to go into this. We are going to leave it with you. We want you also to do some work. Work out. Let the brain cells work. You know, come forth with some ideas. Bring about some change within yourselves, your community of friends, your community, your society, family. Be active. But I would like to show you a small clip which will bring forth a very important quality that will address these three questions. What is that important quality that we must try to inculcate or we must try to cultivate?
It's just this mental game, you know. Now,
if I had given you the example of Hanuman from the Ramayana, I don't think it would have been as, you know, it would have mattered as much as this video. First is the initial inertia has to be given up. When Hanumanji, he did not even have a rope, he wasn't tightrope walking across the ocean. It was one leap. And by the way, he did not have a GPS system or anything which could tell him इतना डिस्टेंस है, कैलकुलेट कर लो, कैलकुलेट द वेलोसिटी एंड द एयर रेजिस्टेंस एंड व्हाट वुड बी द एस्केप वेलोसिटी, हाउ मच फ्यूल हैज टू बी देयर. बट वन इंपॉर्टेंट क्वालिटी हियर इज डिटर्मिनेशन, फोकस ऑन द गोल एंड अटमोस्ट ह्यूमिलिटी. You see, this gentleman, you know, he wasn't going, yay. That you see only tennis stars and cricket stars do, you know. One six, it grows, they've hit so many sixes, but still they'll go, yeah. Kya, kya bada kaam ki? You're expected to do that. Determination, focus on the goal, and utmost humility. So these qualities are very important. They will address the three questions that we asked. Why are values changing? Will my values also change? What can I do? So the next, now the third part is few tools for us to help us harmonize these two worlds. Get yourself an internal compass. I mean, yes, external compasses cost money, so we are not asking you to do that. But an internal compass is not really expensive. Too many people today are growing without internal compasses to help them navigate through the seas of moral pollution. Some of the most important values have been lost in the blind pursuit of material comforts. Today, society is a society of moral illiterates. Alright? When we don't have direction in life, what is the use of making any effort? A man was on a crossroad, four directions. Some people were sitting by the side way, by the sidewalk. He says, where does this road go? So the people on the sidewalk said, where do you want to go? He said, I really don't know. So the gentleman on the sidewalk said, does it matter where the road goes? Take anyone then. You'll go somewhere. So there's effort being put. But somewhere does not mean good productivity always. So we must know which way to go, and for that we need a compass. There was once a gentleman, a young son of a very rich businessman who had gone into to another country. And there he was very much engrossed on the internet, fully focused on it. The room in which he was focused on this internet, completely his mind was into it, suddenly caught fire. Somehow something burnt and it caught fire. So his bodyguard knocked on the door, shouted, but he was so engrossed he could not hear. So the bodyguard broke down the door, pulled at his arm, removed him from the chair and said, we have to go. There is this fire. It will burn up everything. We have to take the fire exit. The fire exit is on the right hand. You have to turn right. So when they ran down this corridor and had to turn right for the fire exit, the bodyguard turned right and the boy turned left. A couple of seconds later, the bodyguard realized that maybe I'm alone. He turned around and saw the boy running in the other direction. He ran after him, caught hold of him and said, hey, you're going the wrong direction. The fire exit is in the opposite direction. He said, yes, I know. The fire exit is in that direction. Then why are you running in this direction? Because isn't that where the fire exits? Fire exit does not mean it is a way for the fire to go. Fire exit means when there is a fire, you go that way. Moral illiterates. That is how we are. When there is a fire in our life morally, we think that is where the moral principle should go. We should go in the other direction. That is a moral fire exit. Now, a big void is appearing in the value structure of society And this void becomes most strong when there are role models in terms of media magnates, in terms of the silver screen heroes, in terms of personalities on the sporting fields who have themselves no strong values. So already there is a void, and now when these people who do not really have an idea of what values are in life, when they become the role models, then this void becomes gets starting bigger and bigger and bigger. Someone made a nice comment. He said, stars are attractive, but not falling stars. Falling stars are meteors. Better go out of their way. Yes? Even the so-called rulers, the politicians in the world today, they accept that which is popular rather than that which is right. Sometimes to preserve their status and their position, they are eager to compromise and they are fearful to take a stand on issues that are correct. So this, not only are we lacking moral compasses, but there is a lacking in the role models of society today, to quite an extent, not all of them, but to quite an extent. A person rang up the customer care center of Dell Systems and said, the cup holder or the glass holder that came with the computer is broken. What? Sir, did you get a glass holder as a gift along with the computer? He said, I don't know whether it is a gift or a promotion. It came along with the computer. He said, sir, can you explain more about this glass holder? He said, yes. This glass holder is actually within the CPU, but when you press the button, it comes out. There is a tray in which there is a hole and it can hold glasses. So I put a glass there with hot tea in it, it broke. This is the moral literacy scenario of the people in society today. What will the Dell system do when people use CD trays as glass holders? And it's considered to be innovative. If someone in a group discussion says it can be used as a glass, good leader. Has vision. Selected for job. Andha yathande rupani amanaste pesha tantryam urudam nibaddha. Blind following the blind, obviously ditches are everywhere. I mean, this world, there's no shortfall of ditches or holes in the ground, right? It's expected they'll fall into that, all of them. Moral discipline or moral growth is not possible without discipline of regular and personal reflection. What do I want in life? Am I achieving this? And is it the right direction to go in? One cannot always say that society did this to me. One cannot always say that this is what I've been trained up in. What about our own conscious feelings? We express that. Hamari mange puri karo. Hamari mange kahan se aayi? Andar se aayi na. When we have not studied for the exam and some natural disaster takes place, holiday, postpone the exams. Is it written in your syllabus somewhere? Rule number 22, exams can be postponed under the following circumstances. No. It came from within. The voice is there. That voice needs to grow morally, based on moral principles. And that can only be possible by regular personal reflection under guidance. When one compromises one principle, it becomes easy to compromise on the next. This is a principle in medical science, especially in childbirth. The first childbirth is difficult, takes time. But the second child takes lesser time, less difficulty. Third, gravida, third childbirth, the lady giving birth to a third child, much less contraction times. Same principle applies. One compromise, there's lot of turmoil. But once we make that compromise, the next principle to be compromised, immediate childbirth. Less time taken for it to manifest. If we go through all the major value systems propagated by the major religions of the world in the world today, we'll find 98% of the value systems are same. The value systems are the same. 2%, there may be difference in certain other details, and all the fight is going on because of 2% differences. No one is concerned, not many are concerned, or very few are actually concerned about the similarity in the value systems and the establishment of value systems. Do a small exercise. Keep a small diary. And every time you meet someone who has touched you by good values, note down their values in that diary, the value that you could understand and identify. Very soon you'll have a database of values that you admire and you would like to cultivate in your own lives. Every day is a beautiful day to meet beautiful people. Not just external beauty, but those who have internal integrity and moral values. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Your actions, they become habits. Habits become character. Character becomes your culture. It is excellent to have a giant's strength, but it is tyrannous to use it like a giant. This is William Shakespeare. Be more concerned about your character than your reputation. Character is what you are. Reputation is what people think you are. Teaching a child not to step on a caterpillar is beneficial both for the child and the caterpillar also. A small story. Two friends, they were going on some excursion. They had a quarrel. One of the friends, he became angry and slapped the other one. There was some sand there, and the friend wrote in the sand, "My friend slapped me." After some time, they continued on still. After some time, they reached a pond and they were swimming. Somehow or the other, the one who had been slapped was drowning. His friend saved him. He came out and with a chisel and hammer, he wrote on stone, "Today my friend saved me." So his friend asked him, "When I slapped you, wrote it in sand. When I saved you, you wrote it on stone. Why this difference?" So his friend told him, "My dear friend, when someone hurts us, we should write it down in sand, where the winds of forgiveness can erase it. But when someone does something good for us, we must engrave it in stone, so that no wind can ever erase it. Learn to write your hurts in the sand and to carve your blessings in stone." This is very helpful. There was once a barber. One day, a florist came to him for a haircut. He cut the hair. The florist was about to pay him 20 rupees. He said, no, I am doing community service this week. Free." The next day the florist sent him two bunches of vases of rose with a thank you note. That very day, the baker came to his shop for a haircut. He wanted to pay him money. He said, no, I'm doing community service, no money. So he went back, and the next morning he found fresh cake and donuts at the door of his shop with thank you note. The third day, a librarian came to him. Same thing happened. He said, no, I'm doing community service this week. So the fourth day morning, he found books that had been issued to him by the librarian free of charge with a thank you note. Now that fourth morning, a politician came to him for a haircut. He said, no money. This week, I'm just doing community service. The next morning, there were 20 other politicians waiting. Are we going to write our hurts in sand and our blessings in stone? Or are we going to exploit that which has been afforded from the grateful heart of another person in society? That will determine what type of internal compass we develop within us. The next tool that would be helpful is head in the sky, feet on the ground. Have lofty ideas, but walk towards them. To make some efforts towards them. There was an astrologer, you know, astrology is basically about stars. So the astrologer was constantly observing stars. He was so much engrossed in observing stars that he fell down into a ditch. A passerby helped him out and said, friend, learn from this to let the stars go their way while you look more carefully where you are going. The stars will be going their way. At the same time, we must try and see which way we are going to. Head in the sky, feet on the ground. There was once a religious teacher had come to a new town. Because he was new in town, he did not know the way to the local post office. A young boy was on his bicycle going past. He stopped the boy and said, do you know who I am? The boy said, yes, I know you are the new religious teacher for the community. He said, yes. Do you know what I do? He said, yes, you give lectures. Inspire everyone. Very good. Do you know what is the essence of that lectures, of all that inspiration that I give? He said, no, I don't know. So the religious teacher told him, the inspiration is that I can take you back home, back to Godhead. I can show you the way back home, back to Godhead. The boy kept quiet. So the teacher now felt that, all right, I've impressed the boys. Then he said, my dear boy, do you know the way to the post office here? The boy said, yes, take the next right turn and go straight, you'll find the post office. He said, thank you, my boy. And before he left, the teacher felt that he must do something for the boy. So he said, today evening I'm going to give a very, very important lecture on how one can go back home, back to Godhead. Would you like to come? The boy said, no. Teacher said, why? He said, my dear sir, if you don't know the way to the post office, then how? So it's important to have the head in the sky, but feet should be on the ground. The world with its vast network of telecommunications has created a new phenomena, the new phenomena of increasing desires. Do you know there are fresh grapes available in Nasik, fresh oranges in Nagpur? I don't know what else. Mangoes from Florida, some fruit from Singapore, telecommunications, the global world. What it has created is today people do not ask so much for jhunkha bhakar as much they ask for pizza and lasagna. Why? So jhunkha bhakar you'll get any time. Now I can get pizza and lasagna too. We see that people, even in a small slum, are all gathered around a satellite dish television monitor, and they are all watching the ramp show taking place in Dubai. And they're going, ooh, ah, over it. None of them ever see the UGC program. Many of you don't even know. I don't know whether it still runs. University Grants Commission. It used to run on Doordarshan 1 in the afternoons. Dubai Ramp Show. Aha. In the recent IPL match that was happening, you know, somewhere in Bangalore. I don't know, some stadium, some name. Durai Swami. Is it Durai Swami? Chinna Swami. There was this die-hard, you know, supporter of some team. KKK. KKR. KKR. But he did not have a nice seat, so he took out, he had a binoculars, so he was watching if there is some other seat empty. Oh, he saw just two stands across. There's this old man with an empty seat beside him, and this was a really expensive seat. He said, what a waste, empty seat. So somehow the other he made his way through the crowd and he came up to the old man and said, Kaka, Zaga hai ka nahi? This is Bangalore, no? Kannada, I don't know. Someone told me in Kannada you should not say kaka because kaka also means crow. Uncle, is this seat taken? He said, actually, the seat belonged to my wife. She was a die-hard fan of KKR, but she expired. I'm so sorry. When did this happen? He said, today morning. Then Kaka, why didn't you give the seat to one of your friends or relatives or someone you know? They are all at the funeral. Where is Kaka? The glamorous lifestyles of the rich and famous that are shown here are so attractive that old traditions like Smashan Ghat and Anteshti, we are mod people now. We will do it online. Kaka is going to have online attendance for his wife's funeral. Secondly, speed has invaded our lives so much. The problem with speed is, let's say a train which is traveling at a speed of 100 kilometers an hour, or in the west it travels at 250 to 300 miles per hour. The train looks very, very stable. The scene outside a train is all a blur. So when we are moving at rapid speed in our lives without proper direction, our life, where we at this moment are placed, may appear to be stable. Everything around is actually a blur. All systems start crumbling because of the rapid pace at which we are going. His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj made a very beautiful statement. He said, normal is not natural. Today people think नॉर्मल होना चाहिए यार, मतलब ये ठीक है शिखा वेखा, थोड़ा सा वो रेगुलर स्टाइल भी होना चाहिए, बाल ऐसे सामने, शिखा सामने, we must resist temptation to be normal because those who are now considered normal accept the values and practices of an insane world. In modern society, for example, normal people strive to accumulate as many commodities as possible because they believe that their success and personal wealth are linked to the number of possessions they have acquired. As a joke goes, the one who dies with the most toys wins. But what are the use of so many toys when we are in a grave? You can't play with the toys, and if you start playing, people will run away. They'll become scared. Once a man, he approached a gentleman who lived for 120 years. He said, but he looked very young and fit, you know. And this person was in his 40. He approached him and said, sir, kya, kya, kya secret hai aapki life ka? I mean, he was really, at 40 years he was tired of life. But this man at 120 was really full of spirit. He said, secret of my life? Very simple. No eating unnecessary food that is not healthy for the body. No drinking, no intoxication. No gambling, no womanization. Every single day you do it, you can live for 120 years or more. Very easily. The 40-year-old man was just staring at him and said, 1,000 years of living like that, what is the use? So being normal in today's world is not natural. And if it is not natural, it is not healthy, we won't be happy. There was an advert in a newspaper. Please listen carefully. Young male, 34 years old, successful, very intelligent, good looking, independent, self-made, looking for a girl whose father can employ me. Very important to realize that if we need something valuable, we need to put our arms forward and beg. But we should know what to beg for and how to position ourselves for begging. That is very important. To receive mercy, it is important that we become humble. Today's society is a society of overworked minds and underworked bodies. By underworked bodies, I don't mean starved bodies. I mean really underworked bodies. My friend and colleague of at least 10, 15 years now, also someone whom we cultivated in Krishna consciousness, is working as a neurophysician and doing his DM, neurosciences, neurological medicine in Calcutta. Recently, he himself was shocked, and he shocked me by the information. He is trying to get funds to conduct studies on school-going children right from class 1 to class 10 to have their profile, health profile, and the status of their kidneys. Because nephrophysician, he's into kidney studies. So, he said, I am shocked because we had funds only to do study in one school, and we got the permission to do studies only for 100 students. No, sorry, I think it was 500 students, and he said, Prabhuji, 80% of the students of the fourth standard are hypertensive. They have high blood pressure. Out of which 30% are stage 2. They need medicines. I asked him, what is the cause? He said, fast food and passive lifestyle. No exercise, no healthy eating. This seems to be the predominant cause. And he said, I am scared because this is just one school. What would happen when we do it in all the schools in the city of Calcutta? The results are mind-boggling, he's saying. Overworked minds, underworked bodies. A fourth standard student knows more about how internet games work, how to actually again make alive a crashed computer system. At the same time, it is a fourth standard student who is suffering from high blood pressure. Once a father wanted to teach some good values to his son, so he took him into the countryside, and they stayed for 3 days and three nights at the house of a simple farmer. On their way back, the father wanted to get the feedback from his son so that he could appreciate all that he had with him. Please listen to this very carefully. It is really going to shift our paradigm in life. The son till today didn't know, and the father, only son, the father really wanted to make him appreciate the value of all that was being offered to him as a son of a rich father. So when he saw how the children of the farmer actually did not have all those amenities, the father thought, now my son will realize and he will value them. So he's expecting that from his son. So he asked his son on the way back, what did you learn from your experience? He says, my dear father, thank you very much for letting us spend this 3 days and three nights with this farmer family. I learned the value of things in life. The father became very happy. He said, what did you learn, my dear son? The son said, I learned that we have one dog in our house and they have four. I learned that we have a fountain in our garden, but they have a stream that has no end. I learned that we have imported lamps in our garden. They have the stars. I learned a garden goes to the edge of a property, but they have the entire horizon as their backyard. At the end of the son's reply, the father was speechless. He said, thank you, my dear father, for showing me how poor we really are. Some of the real gifts of this world are not produced by the factories of this world. It is very important that we can learn the art of asking. We can learn the art of being grateful for what we have received instead of asking for more. Learn to appreciate what we have. Wealth is all one's point of view. The third tool that will be helpful for you is get yourself a strong arm. This is not some artist's fantasy. These are gadgets that are used by young people of today's generation not to feel lonely. Because of the world and the economical structure of the world that we live in, more and more young people are finding themselves alone just due to circumstances. Young boys and girls are finding themselves staying alone, far away from family and friends, people that they knew their entire life. In a society where they know that new friendship can easily lead you into the garden of hurt. So they are very careful in making new friendships. They are far away from old friends. They are all alone. So these gadgets are becoming very popular at night. Such lonely, single young men and women, they sleep with one arm around them with the idea, someone is with me. You can't have two arms, you can't sleep, no? So this is a gadget, one arm. Better have a strong arm in this world, otherwise we may become very lonely in this world. There was once a boy who went with his father on a picnic. They were riding in their car. Suddenly the boy said, "My dear father, why doesn't the sky fall on our head?" The father, wanting to be honest, said, "Son, I do not really know." Boy kept quiet. Then the boy looked around and after some time he said, "Father, why do the trees all they grow up and not into the ground?" The father said, "My dear boy, I don't really know." The boy said, "It's okay." Then they were going beside a stream and he said, "Father, why it is that the water is liquid always and blue in color?" Father said, "My dear boy, I don't really know." The boy kept quiet. After some time, the boy asked the father, "Father, I hope you're not angry with me because I'm asking you so many questions." The father said, "No, no. If you don't ask questions, how will you learn?" Friends, that is not the strong arm that we want around us. Strong arms mean an association that allows us to feel secure in knowledge, in being. Yes? Association is very important. Some reporters, they carried out interviews with gang members in Mumbai. And they asked some of the members of Sitsis gangs, "Don't you ever get really tired of this? Don't you find it difficult and uncomfortable? Don't you feel that this is wrong?" They said, "Yes, we feel all of that." "Why don't you come out?" They said, "Chhodenge nahi." Peer pressure bahut hai. Too much of peer pressure. So even if they know that what is correct, there are few good people in society, in politics, in bureaucracy, just because of peer pressure, they are not able to carry on their pure way of life. Therefore, right now we have a choice. We have a choice to develop a very strong association of pure-minded people. We are not sure in future life whether circumstances will allow it or not. Such deep and such interdependent relationships that wherever we are, we have our strong arm with us. Association of good and like-minded people with good values is very important. It's a very, very useful tool. Many of our devotees, they preach in prisons. It is known as prison preaching cell of ISKCON. Their realization, it is easier to preach to the people inside the jails and prisons, because they already know they are suffering and they want to get out of it. But people outside the jail do not feel that they are bound in suffering and it's difficult. Inside the jail, when they are exposed to a philosophy of change, they want to take up to the philosophy of change. Outside the jail, they feel the peer pressure. Tomorrow, many of you are going to land up in situations, in professional situations, areas of your profession where you may like your job but you may not like your co-workers or your superiors. You may like your friends but you may not like the values that they have in life. You may be faced with such dualities. Friends, please try to give more importance to what you need and not what you want. There's a difference between what you need and what you want. You may want a car, but what you need is 2 good meals in a day right now. So for a car, don't sacrifice your 2 good meals of the day. Try to give importance to what you need and not what you want. One must try to have very good friends in life. There is a Sanskrit Subhashita which states that a human being should always be endowed with good sight. That means 2 good eyes. One eye is the eye of intelligence and the other eye is the eye of wise people around you. Intelligence, when combined with the association of wise people, allows us to have good vision in life. A question was once asked, who is better, God or a brain surgeon? Do you want to know what is the answer? You see, a brain surgeon in times of difficulty says, only the Lord can help. Only God can help. Do you think God ever says, only brain surgeon can help? So God is definitely better because God never thinks that he's a brain surgeon. A brain surgeon thinks that he's a brain surgeon. That is a problem. So the most dear and real friend in life is the Paramatma within the heart. Try to cultivate a relationship with the Paramatma in the heart and develop the bridge, build a bridge of knowledge to communicate with Paramatma within the heart through spiritual practices. There are material values and spiritual values. Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. Give food to your faith and see how your doubts simply shrivel away and starve and they leave you. They are gone. The last stool that I want to give you is, before that, there's a small story about a strong arm. A man whose lifelong friend, a dog, somehow at the end of life or maybe even beyond that life, they're walking down a road and they came to this beautiful, beautiful place with a beautiful gate with a watchman there. They walked up to the watchman and said, what is this place? The watchman said, this is heaven. The old man said, can I come in? The watchman said, yes, you are qualified to come in. The old man started walking in. The dog started following and the watchman stopped the dog and said, no dogs allowed. The old man said, then I do not want to enter this heaven. So he went, he left that place and continued walking down the road. He came to this beautiful scenic place. There was grassy lawn, there was beautiful trees, and he found this man sitting there under a tree and he said, what is this place? The man said, this is heaven. He said, can I come into your heaven? He said, yes, you're free to come in. Can my dog also come in? He said, yes, your dog can also come in. He said, down the road also there is another place called as heaven. He said, I know. Is that heaven? He said, no, that is not heaven. This is heaven. Then why do you allow them to use the name of your place? He said, it is good. It screens out people. Those who are not qualified to enter heaven, they get screened out, leave their dog outside and enter alone into that place. Yes? So, values, a good friend, an association. A friend is someone whom we cannot leave behind, especially a good friend. But what will allow us to go beyond our own personal desires is good values in life. Otherwise, we may be taken in by the concept of so-called heaven because it is advertised like that, but we may not reach the real place. The fourth and the last tool is the time to change is right now. Character is the ability to rise above self-interest for the sake of others. Character is what you are when nobody is watching you. One day, a very religious man felt this urge, I need to have a drink of Johnny Walker. Hard drink. But I mean, everyone knows me as a religious man, one who does not drink. So one day, he disguised himself in some way, changed his appearance, and went to a remote corner of the city, into this bar, and ordered Johnny Walker. Two of his closest friends happened to come into the same bar. Now, they were not following the same principle. So they immediately recognized him and said, hey, what are you doing here? And they came to his table. I was feeling thirsty, I came in. So suddenly the waiter comes with this tray, you know, with this glass on it. It is not a transparent glass, you know, one of those glasses, porcelain glass with a drink in it and a slice of lemon on it. Isn't that how they give people slice of lemon on the side, the rim of the glass? He opened it and, sir, for you. Everyone looked in. Now they know what is Johnny Walker. They all know what it is. What is this drink. A religious man very innocently turns to him and says, what has the world come to today? I asked them for a slice of lemon. Just see what they do. How they serve a slice of lemon. Character is what you are when nobody is watching you. A person is grown up when he takes care of himself, not when he takes just care of himself, but when he or she can take care of others too. For this, it is necessary for one to come out of the attitude of, why me? Main mila gaya. Why me? There is a saying in the business world, everything you know is wrong. It is possible. Everything that you know or you see is wrong. That is possible. But you can be straightened out. Situation around may be wrong, but you can be straightened out. Self-discipline is very important. Give a child two plates of cake. One plate has a small piece of cake and the other plate has four pieces of cake. You tell the child, you can have this plate of one piece of cake right now or wait for 1 hour and you can have four pieces of cake. If the child can wait for an hour to have the four pieces of cake, the child will have. But in that endeavor, the child learns discipline. But if the child goes for the cake immediately, all the child gets is one small piece of cake and there's no discipline. So one has to, the mind is like that. One has to train the mind through tolerance and discipline. Time is of great relevance. The time now, if not spent in self-discipline, will never be obtained in the future. The time spent now, which is not in self-discipline, has been spent in what has it been spent in? Indiscipline. And that is what the future holds for us. Right now is the time to change. Mahatma Gandhi said, I must first be the change I want to see in my world. And there's another saying, would the boy you were be proud of the man that you are? There was a very successful carpenter, wanted to retire. One of his favorite clients, in fact one of his main supporters, his patrons, he said, just one more house please. His mind was not in building that house, but he could not say no to the patron. So without his heart in that project, he built the house. It did not have the best of finishings. It did not have the best of the doors or the windows or the flooring, the roof wasn't really the best. But he just did it and he went to the patron and said, this is my last job. I didn't actually want to do it, but because you asked me, then because of a relationship, I built this house. The man said, thank you very much for extending yourself. And he said, so everything is ready? He said, yes. Can we see the house? So he took him on the tour of the house. The man liked the house. But the carpenter knew that this was, according to standards, grade 3. Then his patron, he took the keys of the house and gave it to the carpenter and said, so many years you and me have been business and you have given me the perfect products. I have received so much profit from you. As a parting gift, this house is my gift for you. You can't change that anymore. Only if the carpenter had known that this was his own house, how careful he would have been in building that house. So the time to change is right now, my dear friends, and therefore with this few tools, I'd like to conclude in the next couple of 5 to 10 minutes. Values we have discussed, there are so many values. We discussed how in this world, the external world behaves in certain ways, there's internal turmoil, we've got certain tools to harmonize the two. But how do we know which values are important, unchanging? Now we have to take the support of the understanding or the inherent question that we have. Is there a source of all these values? Is there a fountainhead of all these values? And the answer to that is yes. All the values that are moral and good in this world have their source in the ultimate source of everything, that is Krishna or God. And therefore, even those who do not believe in Krishna find this value so attractive because Krishna is all attractive. And hence, those values which emanate from him are naturally attractive. Anywhere in this world, you find everyone appreciates good values. Finding the common source of these values is of paramount importance in our lives. Because if we don't, then we will not really understand the nature and inherent qualities of these values. In the Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna had revealed everything to Arjuna, Arjuna said, my dear Lord, what you have explained is so very intricate and mesmerizing. I have understood how mesmerizing you are. And therefore, you are going to be the decision maker of all the decisions in my life and not me. Karishye Vachanam Tava. When someone whom we really value, someone whom we really appreciate because we are attracted to them totally and wholesale, then only we are ready to follow whatever they tell us to do. And a successful and powerful personality like Arjuna does not haphazardly without much thinking take a decision like this. This is a very grave decision that he has taken. My dear Lord, you are so attractive. The values that come from you are so attractive. Therefore, whatever you say, I will accept. We must necessarily find a balance between what is ideal and practical. The guiding principle is our heart should get nourished and our consciousness should get enlightened. And we must be warned, we must be careful that our consciousness is not contaminated. Does religion really, is it necessary to cultivate values? Well, some quotations from studies. Religion potentially helps people be and stay good. religion offers to encourage and reinforce ethical principles. This is from the scientific study of religion. Martin Luther King, a very, very powerful personality of the previous century, was left a strong mark on humanity at large. He stated, "If we are to go forward, we must go back and rediscover those precious values that all reality hinges on, the moral foundations and that which has spiritual control." Some of the values that are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, only some. Yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam shrimat urjitam evava. Whatever valuable one sees in this world in terms of things or principles, Lord Hari, Lord Krishna says that it is only a spark of his splendor. Take away message for all of you, please. Before becoming a good professional, one has to become a good human being. A good human being is one who knows the goal of life is to become free from the material world and go back to the eternal realm of happiness and all knowledge. That is a good human being. If you do not rise for something in life, you'll fall for anything. Core values are like guiding light house. They help you to remain on course in life. Bhagavad Gita is a good resource material for core values in life. Please read the Gita. Attend whenever and wherever you can discourses where these values are espoused in an enlightened way. Aspire to inculcate those values and become the lighthouses that the world needs very much today for guidance and proper direction. In 1995, in the North Atlantic Ocean, off the coast of Canada, off the territory, the province of Newfoundland or Newfoundland, the great naval ship of the US Navy, USS Lincoln, was plowing through the waters, the dark waters of the Atlantic in the evening darkness. On their radar, they found an object approaching them. The captain of USS Lincoln sent out a message. "This is the captain of USS Lincoln. Kindly change your course to 15 degrees north." The message came back to the captain: "You change your course to 15 degrees south." The captain became very agitated. He said, "I repeat, this is the captain of USS Lincoln. Change your course to 15 degrees north." The answer came back, "You please change your course to 15 degrees south." The captain sent back the message, "Do you know this is the second largest naval ship of the US Army? I have 3 destroyers with me, 3 cruiser ships with me. I have so much of I have planes on the ship. Move out of my way." The message came back: "You may be the captain of USS Lincoln. This is the lighthouse y'all call captain." So friends, it's your call now. Are you going to ask the world to change 15 degrees north? Or are you going to change your course to 15 degrees south? What will help you to change your course? Knowing that it is a lighthouse which is guiding you away from the rocks of trial and tribulation in this world to the sandy shores of Krishna's spiritual world, where every word is a song, every step is a dance, and Krishna is one's eternal friend and companion, welcoming us with a beautiful song, sound of his flute. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.